You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you back ahead of a Premier League weekend with 10 live games previewed on this podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio with the stalwarts of the podcast on the line right now. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Derek McGovern. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Tom's the stall, I'm the wart, presumably, in that. How are you doing, lads? All right?
Very well, thank you. Tom, how are you?
Very good, Dave. You've been celebrating this week, have you not?
Go on.
Solomon Rondon. Mr. Rondon, I just wondered how much you earned from his starring. Finally, Solomon Rondon gets all the limelight.
Well, every time I see a tweet now praising Solomon Rondon, I feel the need to retweet it and include you in that tweet as well, Tom. Hey, that's what, Dave, I'm going to do from now on.
Dave, you could have scored a couple against Burnley on Monday night. Rondon only got one.
Derek, I think you used up all your luck last season.
No, there's no luck. It was skill last season. It's just bad luck this season. I can't believe it. No, by the Davis Cup finals kicks off today. By the Davis Cup final, I always have a handle on the Premier League, and I know I'm going to make money. This season, it's just unbelievably bad. I can't believe it. It's gone from bad to worse.
On that note, let's get stuck into this weekend's matches, and we start with Burnley. They take on Manchester City 12:30 on Saturday. Burnley 17-2 to win the match. They draw 9-2 with Man City 1-3. Sam Vokes to score and Burnley to win was 16-1, now 25-1. And Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 7-5, now 2-1. Derek, I think with this Burnley side, you can take them on away from home. But at home, they've been pretty good. They've picked up 13 of their 14 points at home. And they did win in this fixture last season. Are Man City too short at 1-3?
Yeah, they are. I'm calling Burnley the hedgehogs now because they get slaughtered on the road. But at home, they're just ridiculous. I've never known a team whose form switches so much between home and away. City, you're right. City, one to three, were they?
That's it, yeah. 1-3.
You can't back at such an unpredictable team at those kind of odds. It's like backing a horse, you know, that in the past has refused to start. You know, it's the class horse of the race. It's 1-3. But it's an even money chance that it starts. And City the same. You just can't back them. Yes, they are the likeliest winners by far because they're in the title race, and Burnley will, you're pretty sure, be in the relegation fight. But I want it. There's no value whatsoever. In fact, I'm liking this picture. On paper, it looks like a Stonewall City win. But not with Burnley's form at Turf Moor, the teams they've knocked over there. They improved by about 2 stone. And the great thing about it, with City being so short, 1-3, there's got to be value in the handicaps. And there is. Burnley plus 2 goals start is 10-11. Shade under even money. I love that. Especially if City have just been involved in a Champions League match too. Burnley plus a 2-goal start. That looks a great bet to me.
With reference to that Champions League match as well, Tom, City haven't been great coming back from Europe this season. They've not won any of their last three when returning from the Champions League. Beaten by Spurs and draws at home against Southampton and Middlesbrough. So that's got to be a concern. And we saw Yaya Toure last week. He starred in that 2-1 win at Selhurst Park. You'd think he's going to come straight back into the starting lineup, given that he is ineligible to play in the Champions League until January at the very least.
Yeah, and he's the kind of player that I think you need in a game like this. I mean, I know he's had his critics, Yaya Toure, but this is a guy who was one of the best players in the Premier League, only a couple of seasons ago. So, I thought his performance was very good against Crystal Palace. He had a little bit of a point to prove. And the thing with him is he's kind of symbolic for Manchester City. When I kind of look at their squad, I see a lot of players who know their days are numbered under Pep. You know, all the fullbacks, for example, know that they're going to be sold at the first opportunity. Company just cannot get fit. The players that have come in have yet to sort of prove themselves. So there's going to be a big turnaround there. But actually, someone like Yaya Toure is somebody I think that a lot of the players for Manchester City who look a little bit lost at the moment in transition, he's the kind of player they can kind of look up to. And they're going to need somebody like him, I think, in this game because Burnley are contrasting away from home versus at home. There's no question about that. And at Turf Moor, the crowd do get right behind them. You know, I know it's an old cliche, and we talk about it a lot, but it's a factor. There's no question. And Man City will know that they're in for a real game. But, and there is a but for me here, You know, Burnley have a awful record against Man City, and the goals that Man City have scored against teams that are going to struggle in the Premier League, you know, traditionally, has been pretty big. I mean, they're averaging over 2.5 goals against Burnley in the last 14 meetings against them, and I think they're gonna have just too much firepower for them. And if Burnley had come into this even on the back of a narrow defeat on Monday night, I could get on board with them, but they were absolutely atrocious, and that is the kind of performance on Monday night that I think will live long in the memory of those players, and I think it'll be difficult for them to shake it off. And I think Man City will end up showing their quality. I'm interested in backing one of the enhanced odds offers here. Sergio Aguero, it's quite interesting this. He scored against 28 of the 30 teams he's faced in the Premier League, but Burnley are one of the teams he's yet to score against. He's got 31 goals in his last 33 games, and I really like the enhanced odds here of a Sergio Aguero goal. Man City to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, because that's the kind of scoreline I think it will be. I can't see, you know, Man City kind of running away with this one. Burnley will make it tough, but I think Burnley are in for a long winter, and I think Man City will make them pay on Saturday.
That's been enhanced from 9-2 to 5-1. Aguero to score, Man City to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. North London derby is next. Chelsea versus Spurs on Saturday tea time, 5:30 kickoff. And Chelsea are 3-4 to win this game. They draw 11-4 with Tottenham in the betting at 4-1. A whole host of enhanced odds offers for this match. I'll pick out a couple. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 2-1. That's been enhanced to 3-1. And Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win was 13-2, now 8-1. Harry Kane, by the way, scored in each of his last four Premier League games. And his record in London League derbies is sensational. Scored twice against West Ham last week. And he's now got 17 in his last 16 London League derbies, Harry Kane. But Spurs, Tom, are coming to this having been knocked out of the Champions League. And Monaco beat them on Tuesday night. And not only that, they were fortunate to beat West Ham last week. They're still the only unbeaten side in the Premier League, but that's definitely misleading, Tom.
Yeah, they're a patched-up side at the moment, the Tottenham Hotspur, and I think Pochettino, particularly the European campaign that they've had, I think that's going to have, you know, dealt a blow to them, really, because all of a sudden, I think there's the first... It's strange, isn't it? It's crazy, actually, when you think about it. They're the only unbeaten team in the Premier League, yet there's critics out there about Pochettino and about the club's sort of transfer policy. You know, if you actually analyse their signings over the last couple of years, based on what they've done on the pitch, there's not been a huge amount of the additions that they've brought in that have really strengthened the team. And it's amazing that for an unbeaten side that there is kind of that criticism coming their way. But, you know, the Champions League campaign has been a disaster. As you say, I thought they were lucky to get all 3 points against West Ham last week. And this is a tough game. Everything is kind of in Chelsea's favour here. They're absolutely flying. They found a system and a way of playing that suits them, that I think gets the best out of the players that they've got, and undoubtedly their best player is Eden Hazard. You know, suddenly Victor Moses looks like a top player, which you've got to give credit to Conte for getting more out of him and Pedro and a few other players in that Chelsea team. So, you know, I think Chelsea are the team that will end this Tottenham unbeaten run. I really do. I mean, there's a historical record here that Tottenham mentally have found difficult to overcome. And I know people, you know, look at head-to-head and historical things and are not interested in them. And I completely understand why, because this is a different set of players, it's different managers and everything else. But, you know, in London, these things are reminded over and over again in these London derbies. It's a big derby game, as they all are, between those top sides in London. But 1990 was the last time that Spurs actually came away from Stamford Bridge with all 3 points, and that is a long, long time. I know, like in the mid-90s and, you know, throughout the 90s, you know, Chelsea weren't brilliant and neither were Tottenham, but that's a long run that will be reminded to all the Tottenham players. So I just think it'll be interesting to see how Pochettino approaches this one, you know, from a tactical point of view, because they're playing three at the back now and a lot of managers are trying to follow suit. And when Everton went to Stamford Bridge, Koeman thought, oh, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll match them up. Well, it was a disaster for them. And, of course, Pochettino went through it at the back against Arsenal. It kind of threw Arsenal into disarray. Wenger couldn't sort of adjust to that quickly. So I'm fascinated to know how Tottenham are going to approach this one. But ultimately, I think Chelsea are going to be too strong for them. And I don't actually mind them plain and simple on the outright at 3-4 here. But I'm going to look at, you know, Diego Costa to score, Chelsea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. And I also, at 5-1 that is, and I also think there's value at Chelsea winning under 2.5 goals at 3-1. You look how tight both teams are defensively. You know, this could be a tight one, but ultimately I've got to side with Chelsea.
Need to mention that Chelsea to win to nil has been enhanced as well. Was 2-1. That's been enhanced to 9-4. And of course, Chelsea have won their last six in the league without conceding. You mentioned that record as well, Tom. 29 visits to Stamford Bridge in all competitions without winning Spurs. They've drawn 11, lost 18. Derek, that is an unbelievable statistic that Tottenham have got to overcome. And two sides coming into this with different mindsets at the moment. Tottenham trying to recover from that Champions League exit, with Chelsea firing on all cylinders now.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that, you know, they haven't won there since 1990. Well, Liverpool haven't won the league since 1990. Does that mean they can't win it this year?
No,
it doesn't. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You know what? Every time I tip Spurs, I'm normally wearing an embarrassed look all week. But this week, I'm all over them like a cheap suit, which I'm also normally wearing all week. I think at 7-2, they're a fantastic bet. Because, you know, if this was Liverpool hosting Tottenham, the way Liverpool are playing right now, by the way, Liverpool are 2-11 this week. We'll get onto them later, the shortest price I've seen all season. You know, I'd be backing Tottenham to beat Liverpool. And I can't see why I'm not going to back Tottenham to beat Chelsea. Okay, Chelsea are firing. They haven't conceded a goal for, you know, forever. But I'm not sure it's been the toughest run of fixtures they've had, you know. There's a Southampton, an Everton, a Middlesbrough, a Man United who were losing to everybody at the time in that spell, a Leicester in that spell, but a Leicester that we're playing in the Champions League matches, in the Champions League a few days later. I'm not sure they've been presented with the toughest set of fixtures. You know, and this is a step up against Tottenham. I know, we know that Tottenham aren't firing on all cylinders, but the single most impressive performance of the season was Tottenham against Manchester City, when they absolutely murdered them. That was a big test for them, and they stepped up to the plate and murdered them. You're getting 7-2 this week that they can do that again, and I think they can. Okay, it was a big disaster for them in midweek going out to the Champions League. But in a way, you know, it might just concentrate their minds on the league. Yeah, sometimes has that effect. And yes, they don't win at Chelsea that often, but they've got, in the last six seasons, they've got three draws there. I just think 7-2 is a big, big price. What we haven't mentioned, by the way, is the war between these two teams at the end of last season when Tottenham's title challenge faded. It finished 2-2, and there were Spurs were shown 9 yellow cards, which is the most by a single team in Premier League history. Matches the number I get on Valentine's Day, by the way. They cost me a bloody fortune. I'm going to go for Tottenham here, 7-2. I think it's too big for a quality side that will get better. We know, you know, we're just waiting for Tottenham to hit form, because we know they will, because they've got too many good players not to. And I'm happy to take 7-2 that it'll be this weekend.
Derek, I don't know if someone's listening in, but while you've been speaking, they've drifted to 4-1 Tottenham.
Oh, my God. everything I've just said, double it.
4-1 Spurs to win at Chelsea, who are 3-4 the draw.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
11-4.
That's ridiculous, 4-1 Tottenham.
I'm guessing that's going to be your bet of the week, Derek. Or haven't
you
decided?
Yeah, and then the podcast now. Just fast forward to that.
Watford versus Stoke is next. This is live on TV midday Sunday. Watford 11-8, the draw 9-4, Stoke in the betting at 9-4. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win, that was 13-5, enhanced to 7-2. Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 9-2, that's been boosted to 6-1. Is this the week, Derek, for Troy Deeney? His 100, you mentioned this a few weeks back, Tom, his 100 not out t-shirt. Probably a little bit grubby now. It's like Ravsey Nesbitt's vest, that one now. Watford 11-8 to win this game. Troy Deeney is part of that enhanced odds offer. Has scored in his last two against Stoke. And they did bounce back from that 6-1 drubbing at Anfield with a 2-1 win against Leicester. How do you see this match, Derek?
I haven't got a clue. I really haven't. It's like this fixture. You might remember those days when you were growing up and, you know, football was on, but it was always some rubbish rugby league game on grandstand or something. You couldn't wait for the fuzzy results to come through, and it was Widnes v St Helens. Oh, God, I've got to stomach this. Well, this fills me with the same kind of dread, this fixture. Watford v Stoke. I mean, we've just gone from Chelsea, Tottenham, the sublime to the Watford v Stoke. It's just, I don't know, last game on match of day, I'm pretty sure. But I mean, Stoke looked as though they were going in the right direction, and then they go and lose at home to Bournemouth, who were going through a dodgy patch last week. I can't get a hand on half the teams in this league, and these are two of them. Watford are no bet at 5-4, 10, whatever they are, 13-8. Shocking prices for Watford. They don't win enough games to merit those kind of odds. Remember, they've beaten Hull and Leicester their last two home games. They drew against Bournemouth the home game before that. who knows? I haven't got a clue what about this fix yet. So I'm going to play my default system in a fixture like this to play safe and go for the draw.
Yeah, 9-4, the draw in the match. Watford have got a pretty decent record against Stoke. They've won 4 of their last 7 meetings, and they did beat Leicester at Vicarage Road last weekend. Stoke City's away form has to improve, Tom, and that's maybe why Watford are priced at 11-8 this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I agree with Derek. It's a very difficult one, this one. I mean, yeah, Stoke away from home, they've shown signs of improvement. You know, the default result of beating Hull City away, which is pretty standard. We kind of overlook that slightly. But draws at Manchester United, draws at West Ham, you know, both of them scoring draws. Watford are a team I always like to back to score a goal. I've no idea what they're ever going to do in terms of a result. But I always think they've got firepower. They've got, you know, they've got players in there that are going to score goals. And at home, they've scored 3 against Manchester United, 2 against Bournemouth, only the 1 against Hull, but 2 against Leicester in victory. So, you know, they've won 3 and drawn 1 of the last 4 matches. But I think Stoke City will probably approach this with the mindset of, you know, we'll take a point all day long and just keep them kind of motoring on. I mean, the ambitions of Stoke, the ambitions of Watford, to be fair, I'm not too sure. I mean, in my head, you know, this is why Watford are a team I can never get a handle on. In my head, Watford haven't had a great season yet. They're 8th in the table. They're 5 points clear of Stoke. They're a point behind Everton and Manchester United. This is a good side. I mean, the results tell us now over 12 games that this Watford team are a decent side and at the moment, comfortably, a top half side. So you might lean towards them, but I think Stoke have got enough here to get a point. I think it'll be a draw, but I'll just boost it a little bit by looking at the draw on both teams to score at 3-1.
On to Arsenal versus Bournemouth, Sunday 2:15. Arsenal 2-5, the draw 19-5, Bournemouth 15-2. Enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 9-5. That's been enhanced to 5-2. Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 11-1. That's been boosted to 16-1 now, Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win. They found that fighting fire with fire doesn't work against Arsenal. Bournemouth like to play a similar style of football, and everyone, Tom, has been touting, or not everyone, but some people have been touting Eddie Howe as a future Arsenal manager, given the style he plays with his Bournemouth side. But it hasn't worked. They need to be... They've been a little bit naive when playing Arsenal recently.
They have, and, you know, I told you last week I'd kind of fallen out of love with Bournemouth, and then they go and beat Stoke, didn't they? So clearly my love is something that they do not need to go and get a result, and they probably feel free of those shackles now. Because it was a good performance from them, and sort of typical away performance. I think what Bournemouth can do away from home is when they're up against teams like Stoke, like a West Brom, I'm just naming Tony Pulis, you know, teams with Tony Pulis kind of fingerprints on them. But yeah, I think when it's a team that are a bit more functional, and a bit more physical, you know, Bournemouth can play the football, but I think when they come up against another footballing side and a better side, it's where they've struggled. I can't get a handle on Bournemouth either this season. Their results are all over the place. You know, they get walloped at Man City. They get beat comfortably by Middlesbrough, who actually scored 2 goals against them. They then put in a good display at Watford and got a point in a 2-2 draw there. You know, that's just their away form, and their home form is mixed as well. I mean, I always think it's a difficult place to go, but it's 2 defeats, a victory and a draw in the last 4 games. And I don't know. I'm struggling with Bournemouth a little bit here, and I can't make a case for them, and I want to make a case. I always look at Bournemouth favourably and think, yeah, they've got quality there, the way they approach the match. And this is the kind of game that Arsenal traditionally have maybe struggled a little bit in terms of teams. You know, like Southampton, Swansea and Bournemouth are the 3 sides, those kind of middling teams that I would think can give Arsenal a game at the Emirates, because they like the big pitch. They like to go toe-to-toe with them on a footballing point of view. And that gives Arsenal the jitters a little bit. They prefer a team that sit in. And I don't think Bournemouth will do it. I think there'll be goals in this one. And again, Arsenal at 2-5, given their recent results, I'm not too keen on. But I think there'll be goals. I think Bournemouth have got the capabilities of scoring here, but I'm going to be backing an Arsenal winning over 2.5 goals at 4-5.
Yeah, I like Arsenal to win and both teams to score here at 15-8, given that those 2 results against Southampton and Swansea at the Emirates this season did win those games, Arsenal, but both teams scored on both occasions. They were dominated midweek, weren't they, Derek? I don't know if you saw that game against PSG. But
a bit of better tour, yeah.
If Edinson Cavani could shoot, they'd have been beaten in that match.
Yeah, they would have done. And, you know, 2 performances before that, Man United and Tottenham, 3 successive draws now for Arsenal, which is, you know, sort of halted their season, halted their bandwagon a little bit. But they ain't losing games. They won this fixture 2-0 last season with the minimum of fuss, I seem to remember. And you mentioned that Bournemouth are likely to score here. Well, I mean, you know, in the last four matches, they played Tottenham, Middlesbrough, Sunderland and Stoke. Not the toughest set of fixtures, Tottenham apart, and scored only two goals in that. They don't look a side full of goals to me. I've just been looking at the two squads on paper as well, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm surprised that Bournemouth aren't further down the table than they are, because I watched them, and yeah, they play nice football. They're supposed to be a bit of a Swansea, you know, they play nice football, but they never look like they're going to threaten too many teams. Swansea, Middlesbrough, Bournemouth, I'd pretty much throw a blanket over them, even though Swansea are propping up the table right now. I fancy Arsenal to win this quite cosily, you know. Both teams to score, is 21-20. I like the look of that. In fact, what I'll do is back Arsenal to win without conceding a goal, which I'm just searching for the price now. I can't find it at the moment.
It's 29-20, Derek. 29.
Yeah,
to 20.
Yeah. I was figuring it'd be around about the 6-4 mark. Yeah. I like the look of that. That's what you'd have been paid out last season, and I can see it happening again.
Arsenal to win 2-0 for Derek at 29-20. Southampton versus Everton is the last of the televised games. 4:30 on Sunday, and Southampton are a shade of odds against, 11-10 to win the match. The draw 12-5 with Everton 11-4. Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win was 3-1. It's now 4-1. Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Southampton stifled Liverpool at home last weekend, and I suppose they'll be fancying their chance of shutting down another Merseyside club on Sunday evening. Everton have really misfired in recent weeks, Derek. I expected a lot better from this Everton side. Failed to beat Swansea, lost away at Burnley, and got thumped at Stamford Bridge as well. Southampton 11-10 to win this game, and Everton stumbling at the moment. I still expect better from Everton, Derek.
They're playing really badly at the moment. I mean, I'm surprised that there haven't been questions asked of Ronald Koeman, A, because of Everton's ropey form, and B, because of some of the public utterances he's made in recent weeks. We touched upon it last week. I looked at this picture and I thought, yeah, I'm going to back Southampton here, but I don't think your odds compiler's given anything away here, 11-10. I really don't. Especially if they played on Thursday night, of course. They were really poor against Sparta Prague. Against Liverpool last week, they could easily have lost after 3-4-0. They wouldn't have had any complaints. There aren't too many crumbs of comfort in their recent form, Southampton. Just when I was getting finally worked up about them after 18 months of writing them off, they've gone crap again. Don't like time things right. It's the story of my season. This troubles me, this picture. There's no easy pickings this week, Tottenham apart on the coupon. You know, I'm going to go for the draw in this one as well. It wouldn't surprise me. So Everton are going to improve in form because they've got too many good players, and maybe they're just finding it hard to acclimatise under the new manager. Maybe when his methods sink in, that's when you'll see the improvements. But that's going to happen sooner rather than later, you'd expect, from a manager who's proven himself in the top level. And Southampton, I'm a little bit worried about them at the moment. I'm not sure that they're firing on any cylinders, never mind all.
I love the expression crumbs of comfort. I'm using that one in the future, Derek. I love that one. Southampton Everton, Tom, how do you see it?
Pretty similar to Derek, to be honest. I've got no faith in Everton given their recent results, and you know, their performances weren't great. I mean, they scrambled, a point against Swansea. Obviously, away from home, the Chelsea game was a real blow, but they lost to Burnley. They got a fortunate point at Man City. They lost at Bournemouth. There's absolutely nothing in their away form that you want to be backing. Two goals in the last four matches. And the only time they've looked comfortable away from home was against Sunderland back in September, where Sunderland gifted them three goals. So I just see two sides that are kind of out of form and out of shape a little bit here. And again, two teams where probably that if you offered them a point, they'd probably take it. Although I think, both sides could do with the 3 points, but I can't back either side to get it. So I think the draw is on the cards. And again, I'm not too sure about the goals here. I think we could be looking at one or something along those lines. I do like, though, two players that are very much the focal points for these teams. I mean, Charlie Austin's got, three in his last four Premier League games. He's been scoring. He's very much the man on the spot, isn't he, when chances come along? He's a real poacher. And Romelu Lukaku, you don't want to look too far away from him, for Everton, if indeed he is firing. Both of them scoring the game. Again, any time goal scorer doubles is 11-2, which I like a lot. There's a few weaknesses in Koeman, and I'm just not seeing enough from him to suggest he's maybe this top manager or a top manager in the making. And I thought his tactics against Chelsea, as I mentioned earlier, kind of surprised me a little bit. I think he'll just want to steady the ship and get the points. So that's where I would head. I'd head for a score draw here, a draw and both teams to score.
That's in the betting at 16-5. Let's look at the non-televised fixtures this weekend, and we'll start at Anfield with Liverpool versus Sunderland. Liverpool 2-11 to win this game. They draw 13-2, Sunderland 16-1. Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win was 19-20. Now 6-5. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 20-1. That's been enhanced to 33-1. I don't know if I can resist, Tom, not backing that at 33-1. Defoe to score and Sunderland to win. Biggest price we've seen this season, I think, 16-1.
Yeah.
Sunderland.
Yeah, it's right up there, isn't it? They've turned the corner, though, haven't they? What, two wins on the spin?
Yeah.
They've got that little bit of a confidence booster. And actually, you know, all of a sudden, Victor Anichebe is putting in his two performances that he probably puts in every sort of 5 years. Because they've kind of been a bit more functional, haven't they? And David Moyes has kind of taken a little bit back to basics. But I'm not going to read too much into those victories. You know, I think they caught a Bournemouth side that they kind of bullied, and Hull City are just awful last week. And Hull City had a few chances in that game, but, you know, it was a routine win for them. I just don't think this is the game. This is the kind of fix that's going to save Sunderland. So it's a free go, isn't it? And I think some managers might be a little bit ambitious here and think, actually, the best way to tackle Liverpool, given the squad of players I've got at my disposal, is probably to try and give it a go. Now, there's one thing trying, there's another thing being able to do it. And Sunderland don't have the personnel with the injuries they've got to go toe-to-toe at Liverpool. Now, not many teams do, but I just know in David Moyes, as we all do, he's going to go there and try and shut up shop. Now, every team has done that so far at Anfield, pretty much, and not many have actually survived. You know, Manchester United being a rare exception, and given the quality of players they've got versus Sunderland, I can't give Sunderland a prayer here. But I'm going for Coutinho here. This is a player I don't need to tell anybody about how good he is, but he's in form, and that's what I'm interested in. He scored 5 in his last 6 for club and country, 3 in his last 4 at Anfield, and he's exactly the kind of player that Sunderland have struggled to deal with this season. Somebody who just pulls in between the lines, midfield and defence. They don't have anyone who really picks those guys up, and I think Coutinho is going to be a big threat for them. So I like the enhanced odds there of a Coutinho goal and a Liverpool win at 6-5. I'll be playing that.
Is it a false dawn, do you think, for Sunderland, Derek? They've made their move maybe earlier than we anticipated. They've won back-to-back games, and they're looking to win 3 successive Premier League matches for the first time since May 2014. They can't go to Anfield and win, can they?
Well, they regularly go to Anfield and not lose. You know, they've played Liverpool 15 times at Anfield in the Premier League, and they've drawn 8 of them. That's quite an incredible record, considering they've been useless for, you know, 15 seasons, and Liverpool have been, you know, a little bit better than that. So it is an unbelievable record. Most of those 15 seasons have been spent with Liverpool having 98% of the ball and struggling to break them down. This season under Jurgen Klopp, that's not a failing. You could level at Liverpool. I mean, you know, they made the teams from the off. I'm thinking of that Watford game a few weeks ago, one or two others. But still sticking in my memory is the game against West Brom when they looked as though they were going to murder them and were left hanging on for dear life at Anfield in a 2-1 win. You know, that could happen this time round, because Sunderland, they get a couple of breaks with the way Defoe and Ichebe are firing in goals. You can see them scoring, particularly against that Liverpool back line. It's a difficult one to call this. What I'm thinking here is that because Liverpool are so short, 2-11, you don't normally get prices like that now in the Premier League. I remember saying a few weeks ago, those days of Hull winning at Arsenal, I think it was at 20-1, have long gone. Well, now you're getting 16-1 about a Premier League side that's just won 2 matches. I don't think that's ever happened. I mean, that is, on the face of it, a big price. Liverpool have got a Carling Cup now, whatever you call it these days, in midweek. I'm pretty sure that won't be uppermost on their minds. So they'll be giving Sunderland their full attention. But it troubles me, this fixture. I've been against Liverpool a few times when they show prices. Okay, I've been made to look a bit silly. But anyone backing Sunderland here, you wouldn't get any arguments from me. In fact, I'm going to look at Sunderland with a 2-goal start here at 8-5.
Sunderland plus 2 at 8-5. If you want to look at, I put it up as my nap last weekend, and they drew 0-0, but still all 8 of their wins, Liverpool, both teams have scored this season. Liverpool 8-5 to win and both teams to score, which is obviously a huge enhancement on that 2-11 Liverpool to win the game if you think they're not going to keep a clean sheet. And the chaps have made mention of Anichebe and Defoe going well as well, so take a check or take a look at the 8-5 for Liverpool to win and both teams to score.
I'd be interested to see what reception David Moyes gets, won't it? Because, you know, he was in charge of Everton. He was hated, but he'll get a round of applause for the job he did at Man United.
When he talks to Anfield. Agent Moyes is how many fans of clubs that didn't like Manchester United would refer to him as. Agent Moyes, mission accomplished.
Swansea versus Crystal Palace next. Swansea 8-5, the draw 12-5, Palace 9-5. Enhanced odds, Skilfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 3-1, now 4-1. And Andros Townsend to score and Crystal Palace to win was 5-1, now 7-1. It's the sack race battle, this one, Derek.
Yeah.
With Alan Pardew and Bob Bradley going head-to-head. Crystal Palace have actually averaged 0.71 points per game in the league since the start of 2016. That's lower than any other team playing in the Football League or the Premier League this year. And they've now lost 5 straight. But Swansea aren't doing much better either.
No, but there was a lot to like about their performance at Everton last week, wasn't it? 1-1, and they could easily have won that game. I think Alan Pardew, the Palace manager, is one of those gems they keep talking about in politics, just about managing. Because I don't understand how he's not. I know he's favourite in the sack race betting with Hills now, isn't he? 2-1, did I see? But you don't see it in the press. You don't see that he's under any pressure. You know, a manager just gone five straight defeats. Against. Okay, Liverpool and Man City were in that spell, but also Leicester, West Ham and Burnley, they've lost the games. The form they've had in 2016, worse than any side in the 92 teams.
Yep.
And he's not, there's no big rumblings about him to go. It's quite amazing, really.
He does this every, we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but he does it at every single club, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Has a honeymoon period and then checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, but you mentioned that last week, and in my mind, I thought, well, I think you're being a bit unkind, because I seem to remember in my mind, he does that. He goes on a decent run, then he goes on an absolutely appalling run, and then all of a sudden, he'll get three wins on the spin to save his skin. But maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was reading him wrong there. He's definitely in trouble. Bradley's surely got to be given a bit of time, hasn't he? He's only just arrived there, and, they've had some tough fixtures as well, Swansea. Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United, Stoke, away from home. They're tough matches they've had. And I don't think they've never been pulverised in any of those games. I'm trying to persuade myself to back Swansea here, but the draw is the biggest price of all. And this match has finished 1-1 in each of the last 3 seasons. So I've got to go for the draw. The odds command it.
I didn't think you took any notice of head-to-heads, though, Derek.
No, you're right. Yeah, okay, I'll go for Swansea then.
unless, of course, it...
Listen, you only use those kind of stats when it backs up your argument.
Exactly.
You know that.
Exactly, it's got to prove your point.
The draw, the draw for Derek at 12-5. Interesting betting here with William Hill for the sack race, by the way. I've just grabbed these prices now. Bob Bradley, 13-8, favourite to be next manager to leave. David Moyes is 5-2. Alan Pardew 4-1. Mike Phelan 4-1. 12-1 Slaven Bilic, and 16-1 and bigger the rest.
It's amazing, isn't it? Moyes is more fancied to go than Pardew. And Pardew's lost 5 on the spin. He's got a worse record than anyone in 2016. And Moyes has just won 2 on the spin. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I think Moyes is too short in the betting there, and maybe Pardew a shade of value. Bilic could be value there at 12-1. As well.
Yeah, I think one of the problems with that, though, is who's available. It's who you replace them with. Do you know what I mean? We're seeing Premier League clubs, when they have made the decisions, they've done it because they've got somebody lined up or somebody ready to go more often than not. And I think that's the problem. I don't think there's maybe 3 or 4 managers out there that you would definitely say, yeah, give him the job. He is the man. You know, it's not like when Tony Pulis was on the market, I remember a few years ago after he'd left Palace, and basically after the job he'd done there, every team at the bottom, it was basically, who pulled the trigger first to go and get Tony Pulis, and West Brom made the move. So I think at the moment there's probably a lack of options out there. And as people tend to say, they're only as loyal as their options.
What do you think to Swansea Palace?
I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I do. Crystal Palace, whatever their form is, and it's atrocious. They're still a team with players that can score goals. From an attacking point of view and away from home, I still see them very much as a counter-attacking side. And I think this game's going to be wide open. And I've seen Swansea quite a few times this season, and they are absolutely wide open. Apart from that 0-0 against Watford, both teams scoring over 2.5 goals. It's a regular trend in their matches. They've not done well at home. They're way too reliant on Gylfi Sigurdsson. But I think there's little signs of improvement there under Bob Bradley. By no means do I think he's going to be somebody who's going to get them out of it. But psychologically, last week I talked about Sunderland beating Hull and how important that was. If they'd have lost or they'd have drawn that game, they are cut adrift. Swansea already are. They are 4 points behind Hull City going into the weekend. And more importantly, a good 5 points behind West Ham, the team that sit above the relegation zone, and Crystal Palace. So a victory for Swansea suddenly makes everything look great. And I think from Pardew's point of view, maybe him not getting the kind of criticism he maybe deserves, I think that's just because they've always been a little bit at arm's length from the bottom three. As soon as they slip into it, which they will do, given the run that they're on, and the fixtures they've got to come, then I think that'll be ramped up a little bit. So I think this is two very fragile defences with, you know, still enough quality going forward to suggest it's going to be an open game here. But I'm going to side with Swansea here. I think the draw is a play, but I think Swansea, given what this means to them, it's Thanksgiving for Bob Bradley this week. Maybe that'll be symbolic for him, but I'm going to go for a Swansea win and over 2.5 goals.
Over 2.5 goals on its own is available at 10 to 11. If you like Swansea to win and over 2.5 goals, that's 13 to 5 here with William Hill. Leicester versus Middlesbrough next. Leicester 10 to 11. The draw 5 to 2 with Borough in the market at 100 to 30. Enhanced odds, Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win was 23 to 10. That's been enhanced to 3 to 1. And Gaston Ramirez to score and Middlesbrough to win was 15 to 2, now 10 to 1. Amazing statistic that's been doing the rounds on Twitter. I don't know if you two chaps have seen this, but Riyad Mahrez has completed just one pass to Jamie Vardy in the Premier League since the 17th of September. And when you think how lethal those two were combining last season, that is incredible. And after their win against Club Brugge, Leicester have more points in the Champions League than the Premier League now, Tom.
Yeah, it just goes to show where their priorities are. But let's be fair to Leicester. You know, they made it very clear from the word go. This is their priority. It's the great thing about Leicester, and they're obviously in a position they can do it. You know, the bigger clubs and the ones that have been in the Champions League, Tottenham, for example, you know, are a great sort of demonstration of this. You know, they're trying to compete on all fronts, and they're struggling to do it. And in the end, everything's kind of suffered a little bit for them. I know the Premier League's still going okay, but, you know, they're obviously out of Europe. They've now got a problem of maybe trying to fill Wembley for Europa League matches. They might not even get into the Europa League the way it's going. But Leicester have made it very clear from the outset what they're about. Now, we've talked about their results before Champions League games. Awful. 5 games, 1 draw, 4 defeats, and they've conceded 14 goals in that run. But their results after Champions League games are a lot better. They did lose to West Brom. Okay, you take that one out of the equation, but their previous sort of 3 results after Champions League games, they've taken 7 points from a possible 9. They've scored 6, and they've only conceded 1 goal. They're up against the Middlesbrough side here who can't score. 10 league goals all season is nowhere near enough to keep you up in the league, but they might stay up just by default. Their main man and their big summer signing, Negredo, hasn't scored since August. They set up so defensively, and Karanka, you know, there's a few murmurings on Teesside just about his approach to certain matches. But he's so defensive, and he'll do exactly the same thing here. He plays 3 defensive midfielders. You know, his back four is made up of almost 3 centre-backs in there. And he just doesn't give them a lot of opportunity of scoring goals. Now, he will go and try and get a point here and probably go walk away with a 0-0 draw. But I think Leicester at home are always good for scoring, and I don't think Middlesbrough can in this one. So I'm going to back Leicester here to win the game, but I'm going to back them to win to nil. It's 2-1. And I think that's where the value is on this one. It could be 1-0, could be 2-0, but I can't back Middlesbrough scoring. And I've got enough faith. I've still got enough faith in Leicester, you know, to get over the line against this Middlesbrough side.
Derek?
Well, I'll tell you what. If there's been a worse bet than Leicester are odds on, I haven't seen it. Or I'll probably back it, but I haven't seen it. I can't have them. I can't have them at all. You know, Middlesbrough's last 3 away games have been at Manchester City, Arsenal and West Ham. You know, that's tough, isn't it? They haven't lost any of them. They've lost as many away games in the league this season as Chelsea, as Liverpool, and as Man City. One. They don't lose on the road to good teams. Why should they lose against Leicester, who are anything but a good team at the moment, especially in the Premier League? That stat you mentioned about Mahrez and Vardy is quite incredible. I was open-mouthed when you mentioned that. I can't have Leicester at all here. I'm almost tempted to go for Middlesbrough because, you know, they fit the bill 7-2 or whatever they are, almost 4-1. But everything Tom says about Karanka applies. He's the Tony Pulis of this season. He you can't back his team. Even if you think they're overpriced, you can't back him to win because he's just as happy with a draw. He doesn't set up his team to win. So what I'm going to do here is going to go for Middlesbrough with a goal start. So you get the draw as well. And that's just under even money at 17 to 20.
If he's the Tony Pulis of this season, who's Tony Pulis?
Well, after last week, he's Alex Ferguson after the Burnley game.
He's Kevin Keegan circa 96.
Hull versus West Brom is next. Hull 2-1, the draw 11-5, West Brom 6-4. Enhanced odds, Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 9-2. That's 6-1. Salomon Rondon, my man, is 4-1 for him to score and West Brom to win. That's been enhanced from 3-1. That doesn't look bad either. 4-1, Rondon and West Brom to win this game. Hull's win against Southampton, Derek, was clearly an outlier. That win aside, they've only picked up 1 point in 10 games. And those punters that back them to finish bottom this season, they can already spend that money as far as I'm concerned, because it's going to happen. Hull are going to finish bottom of this Premier League.
The 4 points ahead of Swansea at the moment, you know, it's a bit of a leeway, that. I mean, 4 points to big teams doesn't matter anything, but to bad teams, it's a fair leeway. But yeah, I would still be counting my winnings. That said, I mean, West Brom win this. They've got to win this. You know, that if they don't win this, I'm giving up hunting, because that result, that performance against Burnley,
you'll still come on the podcast, won't you, Derek? Though?
Of course, yeah. I'll let other punters lose their money as well, but I won't lose any more. I mean, that performance against Burnley was sensational. Now, was it Burnley being absolutely useless, or was it West Brom being great? Let's not forget they went to Leicester, West Brom, a week earlier and won 2-1. There was almost that comeback at Liverpool as well. I mean, at the moment, I don't know how. I don't know how Pulis is doing it, because I look at that team and I think, nah. But they're playing above themselves and a whole below everybody, it seems. When you're losing 3-0 against Sunderland, there's something seriously wrong. You know, they've lost to Watford as well, lost to Stoke. They got pulverised at Bournemouth. There's nothing in Hull's form that makes me think they're a better around the 2-1 mark. There's a lot in West Brom's form that makes me think they're a better, just, you know, a shade below 6-4. It's got to be West Brom here. It's got to be, because I don't know what. If they don't win this, I don't know what punting's all about anymore.
I do like that enhanced odds offer. I do. Rondon to score and West Brom to win. That's been enhanced from 3-1 to 4-1. He's been involved in 17 Premier League goals since the start of last season. I got 13. That's more than double any other West Brom player, Tom.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. That must warm the cockles of your heart, Dave.
It does.
Since
it
last
does.
Season. I thought you were going to say it this does. Season. Since last season. It's not that impressive, is it? He must be up for a new contract. His contract must be in the final few months. All of a sudden, he's performing. But look, West Brom, you know, their record against bottom half teams is exemplary this season. They've not lost against any of the teams in the bottom half. They've won the majority of those games. So that's where Tony Pulis is doing the damage. That's where his team are doing the damage. And I was listening to Darren Fletcher do an interview this week, and you know he kind of talked about a few results back, you know, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and actually in the West Brom dressing room they were a little bit worried, but they managed to put some results together. The opportunity for them to win three in a row does not come along very often, and when the players looked at who they were playing next after Monday night, they were rubbing their hands together, because Hull City are awful, the worst defence in the league. Up against still one of the best. The only thing, West Brom are my favourite bet of the week, and they had to win the game, but I was trying to work out whether we get loads of goals or not, and it's very difficult for me to decide which way, because I think it's 13-10 for over 2.5 goals in this one, which is probably one of the biggest prices this weekend for the over 2.5. And, you know, you can see why, because you kind of look at West Brom and still I think they've been priced up as being this kind of boring defensive side. But, you know, their recent results and their results away from home, you know, overs has been landed. It's landed in their last 4 matches in all competitions, you know, away from home as well in their last 2. But I think I'm just going to stick with West Brom. I think they're a great price. Cannot be back in his Hull side. And West Brom, it doesn't pay me to say it, but it shocks me to say it, are a decent side.
West Brom 6-4 to win the game. Manchester United versus West Ham is the final game we're going to preview on the podcast. Manchester United 4-9 to win the match. The draw 7-2 with West Ham 13-2. Paul Pogba to score and Manchester United to win was 9-5. That's been enhanced to 5-2. And Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 12-1, now 16-1. Manchester United have lost just 2 of their last 23 games against West Ham at Old Trafford. And Wayne Rooney, who was on the score sheet on Thursday night, has a good record in this fixture as well. He's got 11 in his last 13 against West Ham. He's 11-8 to score any time, Wayne Rooney. And West Ham need to find some form and quickly, Tom. Slaven Bilic coming under pressure. And they were desperately unlucky to be beaten by Spurs last weekend. But that pressure is definitely mounting now.
It is mounting, and even I've got absolutely no feelings one way or the other towards West Ham, but even when that goal went in, I felt a little bit for Slaven Bilic, and that takes an awful lot, because after his antics in the 98 World Cup, which I will never forgive, of what he did to Laurent Blanc, I've never, you know, when people were having him in this summer, I wasn't, and I know he'd done well last year, but I'm never having him for that. So it took a lot for me to kind of feel a drop of sympathy, and I did feel that for him, because his side played well at Tottenham, they did, and they didn't deserve to lose. But they did, and that's the problem with this team this season. You know, that they're capable of scoring goals, they're capable of causing teams problems, but they're not crossing the line enough for me, and that's where the problems lie. I just don't know whether I'm having Manchester United having any kind of resurgence. And, you know, it kind of switches so quickly with Manchester United this season. You know, they get a couple of results, or they get a morale-boosting victory in Europe. They've played some poor sides in the Europa League, but they get these victories, and suddenly everything's on track. Then they're off track. Then they're on track. You know, at no point have Manchester United played brilliantly. At no point either, I think, have they been woeful and awful as much as people are making out. They are where they are, which is, for me, a team that's going to have a battle to get into the top four. They are not title contenders. Their team is unsettled. And you look at their last few results at home, they've drawn their last three matches against Stoke, Burnley and Arsenal. Now, I think West Ham, on their day, are better than two of those sides. I'm not going to name which two. You might better work it out. But they did play well against Arsenal, Manchester United. But again, they didn't cross the line either. So I'm going to go for a draw here. I'm going to hope that the way that West Ham lost that game against Tottenham doesn't affect them too much. And they've still got it in them here to get a point. I know their away form has been shocking. They've lost four of the last five. They've only beaten Crystal Palace in the last five games on the road. But it's Manchester United at home, and they're still not convincing me. And I think West Ham can score. I think both teams to score would be a play here, but I'm going to back the draw.
7-2 the draw. Here's one for you, Derek. In each of his five full Premier League seasons as a manager, Jose Mourinho's league placing after 12 games has been his final league placing that season. And Manchester United currently sixth after 12 games.
You know what? That's incredible you say that, because I was just about to say to you, United are sixth now, and that's exactly where they will finish.
Yeah.
Because they are comfortably, it's a six-team league, and they are comfortably the sixth worst team of that six. The worst team of that six.
Yeah.
Who's below them? Everton. They're on the same number of points. You can't see Everton overtaking them, but you can't see Man United closing the gap on the teams above them. That's exactly right, that. Quite incredible, that statistic. Yet another one. You follow them today, Dave, aren't you? But yeah, that's exactly right.
Tom's right. Well, this weekend.
Tom's right. They are what they are. You know what? If I had any confidence, the results have been going my way, I'd be saying, yeah, you've got to back West Ham here at 13-2, because they're the side that can. Okay, they've had some poor results. The performances are probably of late have probably been better than their results, principally against Tottenham last week. So really, you know, if I had the confidence of yore, I would go for them. But what I'm going to do the Lee Phelps approach and play safe and go West Ham with a goal start at 8-5. There's more to come from this West Ham side. You know what? United won't go up or down. You look at West Ham, and I know they will go up. They're not going to be in a relegation dogfight. They're miles better than about eight teams in that league. And I think they're a big price here. I really do. Especially as Man United just been in action on Thursday. You know, that's a big thing. We always hear it. It was a good performance by United, by the way, against Feyenoord. I was quite impressed by them. They looked a bit more like the United of old, but. They're not going to pull up any trees. They're not a great side. They've got a manager who seems to be living on reputation now. I like the look of West Ham with a goal start.
13-8, the Lee Phelps bet. West Ham plus one, 13-8. Who is this Lee Phelps you mentioned, Derek?
Is he the podcast king? He's sitting on his throne now, having tasty women feed him grapes, no doubt.
It's funny, I've just seen that out in the office earlier, actually, Derek. You're actually spot on. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, you've got to hurry up. You're fanning your man for an hour. No, that's your next door. You've got the palm leaves ready.
The next to me in the studio, Tom.
Good,
don't panic.
Good. Don't leave home without them.
Derek, your nap. Is it Spurs?
Yes, 4-1.
4-1 Spurs for Derek. Tom?
Cannot believe I'm saying this, but West Brom.
West Brom 6-4. I'm going with Arsenal on both teams to score in that game at home against Bournemouth this weekend. That's 15-8 Arsenal to win and both teams to score. 34.93-1 that treble. Tottenham at 4-1, West Brom at 6-4, Arsenal and both teams to score at 15-8. I won't mention the standings because none of us had a winner last week, so I won't go into that. We'll do the Naps table next week. Tom, thank you for your company.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the Pump podcast ahead of the Premier League this weekend. Do check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, and you can subscribe via iTunes as well. Check out all the betting for the 10 Premier League matches at williamhill.com or on the app. And if you're having a bet this weekend, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.